What's up, man? All right, guys. Today's video is titled, I failed my road test because of a dumb bitch, yet I don't feel bad about it. So as you guys know, I'm getting my CDL. I went in for the exam yesterday, and I actually aced the first two of three parts of a CDL exam. Now, for those of you guys who have no idea what a CDL exam is, I'm going to give you a quick overview. This video really is not about the CDL exam, but just I'm going to give you an overview of what the CDL exam is. It actually is rather easy if you're high IQ and you're not like Coach Pitchpill or Yogi Obe. So the first part of a CDL exam, guys, is it's called a pre-inspection and a lab test, LAB. LAB stands for leaks, alarm, button test. Okay, so I don't want this to be about the freaking CDL, you know, but I'm just, because I know a lot of you guys out there, you all want to be truckers and everything, because you go from, like, you know, working at McDonald's, making fucking $10 an hour, to all of a sudden, you know, making $250 a day, about $4,500, you know, after taxes in a month. And trucking is, it's like DoorDash, except you don't pay for your fucking gas, and you don't have to make fucking 20 stops in like one day. Anyways, let me go over this CDL exam really quick. So, you have the lab test, which stands for leak, alarm, and brake. Okay, so the 18-wheelers, the big trucks, they're air-operated brakes. They're not hydraulic like a normal car. They're air-operated. So, obviously, stopping a big truck and making sure that the air is properly functioning, the compressor, the air pressure, the brakes, that's very, very important, you know. So the first test is that you're going to check your brake system. You're going to make sure it doesn't leak more than 4 PSI. That's the leak test. If you hold down the brake for 60 seconds, it should not leak more than 4 PSI. Then after that, the alarm is that it's a low pressure alarm, okay? So your air brake PSI should be between 120 to 140. Of course, it can go lower than that if you're hitting the brakes a bit too frequent, but it should not go under 55. So what happens is that if you have a low air pressure in your compressors because of a leak, or maybe because you're hitting the brakes too much, if it goes under 55, it makes an alarm. So the first test again, guys, is the L, which is the leakage test. You keep your foot on the brakes for 60 seconds, should not lose more than 4 PSI. Then after that test, you do the alarm, where you would, well, first of all, you have to start up the engine again. And you don't have to start up the engine again. Okay. You don't have to start up the engine during the lab test, okay? Because it goes in sequence. So before you start the lab test, you make sure your PSI is between 120 to 140 PSI. The governor cutoff, meaning that the compressor will shut down, happens around 140 PSI when the compressor is like, okay, we're full. And that's when you begin your lab test, okay? So the alarm test, after you do the leakage test where you don't lose more than 4 PSI, you keep stabbing the brakes until the alarm goes off. And that usually happens before it hits 55 PSI. So once the alarm goes off, you stop. By that time, you're about 55 PSI. The B test, the button test, is that your brakes are engaged when there's low air pressure, okay? Obviously, you know, if you lose your air pressure, let's say you have a leakage in your compressor, or one of the compressor lines gets torn or whatever, falls off, you don't have air pressure to use your pedal brakes. They call it service brakes on the truck, on the big trucks. So what happens is that when you don't have air pressure, there are emergency brakes. Really, it's actually parking brakes. It's not emergency brakes, but it's parking brakes that double over as emergency brakes. And that happens when you have low air pressure between 20 to 45 psi. The emergency slash parking brakes are going to get engaged, and the buttons, they pop out, you know. This is the opposite of a car. Here, to engage your parking brake for a car, you press the button in. With the cab, it's with the trucks, it's the other way around. To engage your parking brakes, you pull out the buttons, and to disengage the parking brakes, you push in the buttons. Now, you got two buttons for a big truck. You got a button for the cab itself, the tractor, and then you got a button for the trailer. Both of them have compressed parking brakes. So what happens after you do the alarm test, when your air pressure gets down to 55 psi and it makes that alarm noise, you do the B test, where your parking brake button test, aka emergency brakes, they become engaged automatically. And that happens when your air pressure is between 20 to 45 psi. So what you do to test your parking slash emergency brakes is that you keep stabbing on the brake, and obviously the more you stab on the brake, the more it loses air pressure. And again, between 20 to 45 psi, your parking brakes become engaged. The button pops out, meaning that your parking slash emergency brakes are engaged. Obviously, if you're driving and you lose air pressure and your buttons become engaged like that, that means you need to get the hell off of the road as quickly as possible, you know, because your parking brakes are getting engaged. So that's part one. Also, part one of the test is called a pre-inspection, okay? A pre-inspection is where you go around the truck and you call out every part of the truck that should be checked before you drive. Like, you want to make sure that your water coolant is good. You want to make sure that your power steering fluid levels are good. You want to make sure that all your marker lights, headlights, your horn is working. You want to make sure that your trailer lights are working. You want to make sure that your landing gear is in an upright position. So that's the first part of the three-part exam. The second part of the exam is a maneuvers test, okay? So you got four maneuvers, okay, guys? So the first maneuver is you drive up in a straight line, you drive back in a straight line. The third maneuver is that you drive straight up, but you offset, you know? So you offset. And of course, they got cones over there. So imagine you got this big rectangle box that you gotta stay in. And at the same time, when you do a offset, you can go out of the box around the cone without hitting the cone. So that's called a offset. That's number three. Number four is when after you do the offset, you gotta come back in the box and you gotta bring the back of your cab, back of your trailer, into the end of the box. And you gotta be able to do that without hitting the cones, without going over the yellow lines for the box you're in. Now, that part I aced. Like, a lot of people who do this offset where they back up to get into the box, a lot of people, they pull up like several times, and you know, you can pull up twice and that's fine, but if you pull up, you know, more than twice, they deduct 2 points, you know. And there's a point system, like if you accumulate X amount of points, you fail. So you can actually pull up, you know, 2 or 3 times more than you're allotted 2 times to pull up when you're doing the offset. With me, guys, my offset was so perfect backing up, I did not pull up once or twice even, okay? Because my pull, because my offset game was so perfect. So the first 2 tests, guys, I aced, okay? Now the road test, okay? The road test is when you go on the road with the truck. Now, I've been practicing for the road test with the damn truck for several days. Okay, guys? Like, I did not even think about the road test being an issue at all, you know? Once I aced the first 2 parts of the 3 parts of the test, I was like, yeah, this is in the bag, dude. Yeah, this is in the bag, man. But I ended up failing the road test before I even got out of the freaking parking lot, all because of a dumb bitch. So here's what you guys need to understand about the road test, okay? Your wheels cannot hit the curb, okay? If your wheels at any time hit the curb, you automatically fail the test. That's it, you fail. Yeah, if your wheels hit the curb, you automatically fail, okay, guys? Now, the good thing is that you don't have to do the first 2 tests again. So, I passed the first 2 tests with flying color. So, when I go back on Thursday after I pay him $175 to retest, I get to do the road test. That's the only thing I have to worry about. Now, the reason why I failed the road test, even though I never had an issue with the road, was driving on the road, is that when I was exiting out of a school, some dumb bitch was on her phone by the exit. So obviously I can't hit her car. So I made a hard right turn to avoid hitting her car. And unfortunately the back of my trailer, like 3 inches of the wheel, of the back wheel, hit the curb, and that was an automatic failure, man. So I know a lot of you guys out there are like, yo, or you probably were pissed, you probably wanted to go down there and beat the shit out of the girl, you know, because you have to understand, it's gonna cost me $175 to retest, and according to the DOT or the state or whatever, you have to wait 3 business days before you take the test again. So I failed on Friday, and you know, the weekends don't count, so I gotta wait Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday I'm gonna retest. And you guys have to understand, you know, I was hoping to be driving this month, like next week, like 2 or 3 days from this freaking video, I was hoping to be driving in Daytona. But now that dumb bitch set me back by a whole week. I'll probably be driving early April rather than end of March like I expected, all because of this dumb bitch, you know. So am I upset at her? Actually, no, and I'm gonna tell you why. You see, I was so confident with the road test that I did not even think about it, okay? I aced the first 2 parts. I aced them with flying colors. The road test, I didn't even think about the road test. I'm like, you know, once I get to the road test, that's it. I won, call it a day, give me my freaking CDL exam. But I failed within 2 minutes before I even got out of the freaking parking lot. You see, guys, this is God's way of saying, amen, you thought you did everything right, but at the last second, I stepped in and I fucked your shit up. Now, I know some of you guys out there are saying that's a dick move by God, but here's the thing. That's God's way of saying, hey, if I can do this to you, imagine what I can do to your enemy. Your enemy thinks they did 1, 2, 3. They think they did it perfectly. They think it went absolutely fine. But you know what? I can fuck their shit up. And this is actually the most important thing in this video for you guys out there to understand. You can do everything perfect. You can train for something, have no issue with it. And then all of a sudden something happens and you lose before the battle even begins. Okay, guys? God can fuck you up like that. And again, that's his way of saying, hey, if I can do this to you, imagine what I can do to your enemy. You see, guys, this is why I'm so outspoken. This is why I started the MGTOW party. I know a lot of you guys are like, yo, Amr, the MGTOW party, the CIA is gonna know who you are, Mossad is gonna know who you are, they're gonna try to kill you, they're gonna try to imprison you. Well, here's the thing, dudes. They think they can do everything perfect, but if God wants to fuck their shit up, well, who's gonna save them, right? See, this is what I want everybody here to understand. Islam tells us God plots with you, your enemy plots against you, and God is the greatest of all plotters, okay? If God can fuck your shit up, even though you had it so perfect, you practiced for it dozens of times, and he can fuck your shit up like that out of nowhere, imagine what he can do to your enemy. This is what a lot of you guys out there watching this video need to understand. You guys gotta understand. Right now, America thinks that they can destroy Iran. Like, Trump is like, oh yeah, the war is over, dude. Everything is fine and dandy. You know, just like I thought that, hey man, I passed the first two parts, the road test, it's in the bag, give me my CDL, man. And within 2 minutes of starting up the truck, I failed. Just because I hit the curb. 3 inches. That's all it took, guys. Like, my wheel, like, if I had 3 extra inches, I would have passed the test. If I had 3 extra inches for my rear trailer tires, you know, I would have passed. But again, God, if he wants to fuck up your shit, ain't nothing you can do about it. This is what Trump doesn't understand. This is what Warboy Pete, whatever his last name is, doesn't understand. These people think they're winning, but if God decides to fuck their shit up, it can go sideways real fast, real bad, and then we will never ever recover from it. Okay, guys? So the more arrogant the Jews and their Shabbos goys like Trump and Pete become, the more God is going to be like, okay, bro, okay, you think you got it perfect, you think you are a number one, you think you're perfect, you think you got this in the bag, okay, homie, okay, I'm waiting for you, dog. And God will fuck up their shit. Now, in my case, guys, yeah, I lost $175 to retest. Yeah, I'm now gonna spend an extra week, you know, here in small town USA, not doing anything. But you know what? The fact that this was God's way of saying, hey man, if I can fuck you up like that, imagine what I can do to Trump, imagine what I can do to the Zionist, you know. So that by itself is actually, to me, makes it worth it. I mean, that lesson alone from God, to me, is worth it more than anything else. This is why I'm not upset, guys. Like, I am genuinely not upset failing because of some dumb bitch on her phone was blocking the exit and I had to make a hard right only to have my rear tires of the trailer hit the curb when if I had like 3 more inches, I would have passed the test. Again, God's way of saying, if I can fuck you up like that and you thought you were perfect, you thought you had it in the bag, imagine what I can do to your enemies. See, this is why I can do what I'm doing. This is why, guys, I got the MGTOW party. This is why, guys. By the way, guys, I'm just letting you know, the truck company I'm going with, I'm not telling you who it is, because I know Coach Bitchpill is gonna get on the phone and call him up and do nigger shit, because, well, that's what niggers do. So the trucking company I'm gonna be working for is in the Daytona area. That's where my district is. So my game plan, guys, is that I got my food truck. As you guys know, I own a food truck here in Florida. It's defunct because people here are broke as a joke and can't afford anything. So after my first month of training, the company I'm working with, the first month, the first 30 days on the road, I'm going to be stuck with another dude, you know, showing me the ropes and all that bullshit. And then after that, I'll get my own truck, okay? So hopefully by May, I'll get my own truck. And when that happens, dudes, that's when I'm going to start. That's when I'm going to bring my food truck up to Daytona so I can start campaigning, okay, guys? Now, as you guys know, for me to get onto the ballot, meaning you will see Amar Mitwali, congressional candidate, District 6, on the ballot. My name is going to be on the ballot. I need to bribe the state of Florida $11,000. It's a filing fee, okay? You either pay to play a filing fee of 11K, or you get like 2,700 petitions. Now, a lot of people who got the petitions, they're like, we're gonna pay the fee, because here's the issue. The state of Florida just came out. Well, first of all, it used to be 5,700 petitions to get on the ballot, but because Ron DeSantis redistricted the districts in Florida, he was like, well, you know, because we fucked things up a little bit last minute, instead of 5,700 petitions, you only need 2,700 petitions, which is doable for some candidates who've been doing this shit, you know, for a month. But here's the problem. The state of Florida said the petition must be signed by active registered voters. Well, how do we know if they're active registered voters? Even the voters themselves don't know if they're fucking active registered voters. So a lot of these candidates now are like, fuck it, I'm just gonna pay the 11K. I'm not gonna, you know, go out, get 2,700 petitions, only for the county to tell me, sorry, bro, these people are not active. You only have, you know, 2,000 petitions. Sorry, you can't be on the ballot. So a lot of congressional candidates here in Florida are actually gonna pay the 11K, and I'm gonna be one of them. This is why I'm doing the trucking. The first month with the trucking, guys, I'm gonna make $2,600 because it's training. $600 a week. 2,400. And then the next month in May, I hopefully should be making $4,500. So the qualification period, guys, is June 8th to June 12th, okay? Between June 8th to June 12th, I need to come up with 11K. I'm probably gonna have half of it, or a little bit over half of it, by June 8th. So I'm just letting you guys know. You guys have to understand, I actually have a legit congressional candidacy, okay, guys? This isn't fucking, you know, back alley, dark room bullshit. No, I actually have a FEC-sanctioned congressional candidacy. So, yes, I can actually raise money as a political candidate. Now, I already spoke to TFM. I'm going to air it on, I'm going to, you know, advertise on TFM to let people know that I'm running for congressional candidate. Hopefully you let people know in the District 6 area of Daytona, Volusia County, St. Augustine, that, you know, motorcycle people. So hopefully you guys let people in that district know that there's a real anti-Zionist candidate who is not controlled opposition, unlike Aaron Baker, okay? And at the same time, guys, if you guys want to donate to my congressional committee, Amar Metwali for Congress, that will help out with the filing fee. Like I said, guys, by all estimates, I should probably have a little bit over half the 11K needed to be on the ballot, and that has to be paid between June 8th and June 12th. So in all likelihood, guys, I'm probably gonna have to rely on the MGTOW community. And one last thing to keep in mind, okay? Because again, this is a real FEC sanctioned committee. You guys can actually loan me the money and then I will pay it back to you. So you guys can say, hey, Amar, how much money do you have on you? I got 6K on me in cash. I need another 5K to get on the ballot. Okay, Amar, I'm going to loan your committee $5,000 and then I am obligated to obviously pay you back that $5,000 loan. And as you guys know, as a truck driver, you make about $4,500 a month. So I'll be able to pay you, depending on how much I need to pay you back. I might be able to pay you back in like a month or 5 or 6 weeks at the most, okay? So I'm just letting everybody here understand and understand this really good. I am running for Congress. This is not a pipe dream. This isn't like me trying to run for president, you know, in 2024? No, this is actually real, dudes. By the way, guys, when I ran for president, you can actually write in a name, but that is more of a pipe dream than anything else. And the reason why I did that, guys, is so I can show you guys out there that, yeah, a normal person can actually get somewhere politically in America. Even though it might be a pipe dream, we know the mechanism. We know the forms that need to be filled out and who it needs to be submitted to, okay, guys? But for my congressional committee, guys, no, this one is actually for real, okay, guys? That's why I'm saying, if I get the 11K filing fee, I will be on the ballot. And you guys have to understand, I'm running under my own political party called MGTOW, okay, guys? So I'm running unopposed because there's only 3 MGTOWs in the whole damn state, by the way. So I'm running unopposed. I don't have to worry about the primaries in August. So whoever is the nominee from Republicans or Democrats, I'm gonna go up against him. I'm sure a lot of you people out there heard of Randy Fine. If he wins, I'm gonna go up against him. If Aaron Baker, who is a Zionist controlled opposition, wins, that guy, I will easily wipe the ground with Aaron Baker. First of all, the guy is a flaming homo and he doesn't even hide that anymore. Secondly, he's glazing that Zionist piece of shit, James Fishback. By the way, guys, James Fishback is a Mossad plant, okay, guys? Ask yourself this question. First of all, the last name Fishback, it's Yiddish, okay? That's a Yiddish last name. Also, even though his mother is Colombian, you guys gotta understand, a good amount of Colombians are actually ethnically Jewish. You guys need to understand, dudes. Colombia was the first territory that the Spaniards, after the Inquisition, when they kicked out all the Muslims and the Jews, Colombia was the first territory for them really to settle. So what the Spaniards did when they discovered Colombia, they told the Muslims and the Jews, listen, you all either convert to Christianity, get the fuck out, or we're gonna kill you. So some Jews and some Muslims said, you know what, we're just gonna go to the new land, we're gonna go to Colombia. And the Spaniards were like, well, as long as you get the fuck out of Spain, Hispania, we don't give a fuck. So there are a lot of Jews, no, there's a lot of Colombians out there who are descendants of Jews and Muslims, okay, guys? And look, there's nothing wrong with being a Jew. I'm a Jew myself. But the problem is when you're a dirty Jew like James Fishback, okay, guys? James Fishback, his handler is Barry Wise. For those of you who don't know, Barry Wise works for Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison works for Benjamin Netanyahu. Larry Ellison, he is the guy who now owns TikTok. Larry Ellison owns a lot of media companies out there. And Barry Wise, it's a girl, by the way, and yes, she's an ugly Ashkenazi girl. Barry Wise runs all his media companies, and she is the one who is handling James Fishback. How the fuck do you think a boy of nothing like James Fishback can go from absolute obscurity to all of a sudden he's on Tucker Carlson, he's on CNN, he's everywhere, dudes. In fact, yesterday here in Martin County, I saw kids holding up his fucking campaign signs, Fishback for governor. So how can a guy like that, who is actually sued into oblivion, yes, James Fishback has been sued by his employees because he defrauded them. That's a fact. That's not a personal opinion. He actually has a judgment against him. His Tesla was repossessed. Yet, how does a guy like that, who's broke as a joke, go from obscurity to all of a sudden hanging with the Epstein class? In fact, James Fishback tweeted today, oh, I was invited to Mar-a-Lago, but they canceled my invitation because I'm anti-Zionist and I'm anti-Iranian war. Shut the fuck up, you Zionist piece of shit. Guys, like, I've had it so much with this dirty Jew, James Fishback, that for real, dudes, I am honestly thinking of getting a banner for my truck, and it's gonna say, is James Fishback a Mossad plant? How in the world can a boy of nothing go from obscurity to all of a sudden hanging with the Epstein class, okay? So I'm really thinking of making a banner like that. So all of you guys out there who know of James Fishback, you think other people support him, tell them that James Fishback is a Mossad plant. He is a dirty, dirty, dirty Jew, okay, guys? So, and one last thing I want to say before I end this video. Black Pigeon Speaks made a video today talking about how we're going to have like nuclear war, mass starvation, shit like that, Mad Max, apocalypse. Guys, I don't think it's gonna be that bad. And I'm gonna tell you why. You see, all the dirty Jews out there They all want destruction. They want war. They want poverty. They want misery. They want destruction. God in the Quran says for the dirty Jews, you're always kindling the fire of war and I am always extinguishing it for you. Now, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. If the American people with guns, you know, military, police, said, fuck you, Donald J. Trump, we stand with Amar Metwali, we'll take away women's rights and we'll exterminate the Zionists and everything will be fine and dandy like cotton candy. But some people gotta learn the hard way. Now, how bad is this gonna get? How bad, how long, and who's gonna survive? Those are the questions we should be asking ourselves right now. Now, if I win in November, this would be a game changer. You guys out there need to understand and understand this really good. If the Jews can take somebody like Scam Danny of New York, James Fishback, if they can take these people out of obscurity and put them in a position where they're considered to be Lord and Savior, then the opposite of that is true. They can take us MGTOWs and put us into obscurity. That's the thing. So just like the Jews can take Fishback and Mamdani out of obscurity and then elevate them to godlike status, then they can take us MGTOWs and put us into obscurity. That's exactly what they did. If I win in November, it's gonna be the reverse. And once people realize, oh shit, MGTOW was there before the Groypers, we were there before Andrew Tate, we were there before Fresh and Fit, that itself will be a revolution. You guys need to understand, God will destroy a nation once wickedness gets to a point where it's not gonna go back down. It's only gonna get worse. Once wickedness reaches a point where it gets worse, that's when God is gonna destroy a nation. But if the wickedness can be reversed, okay, then God will have mercy on that nation. We all know the story of Prophet Jonah, right? The people he was dealing with, they were wicked, and God said, hey, go preach to the people so they can become decent humans again. And Jonah was like, oh, no way, man. These people are gonna be so fucking evil. Destruction is gonna be so bad. Let me hop on a ship and get on out of here. But you all know what happened. He fell off the ship and got swallowed by a whale. And that's when God was like, bro, what did I just tell you, homeboy? Go preach to the people. He went, preached to the people, and God showed mercy to the people. He didn't destroy them. That can possibly happen here in America, dudes. And again, if people discover MGTOW, we might be able to reverse the wickedness. And again, we reverse the wickedness by taking away women's rights, repealing the 19th, you know, women can't vote. They cannot be in position of power and authority. Look, when I say take away women's rights, I don't mean you have to force a bitch to be with Yogi Obes or Coach Bitchpill. I'm sorry, I take it back. Coach Bitchpill doesn't like girls, okay? So I'm not saying that a woman has to be with a fucking curry cell or an incel. I'm simply stating that women do not be in a position where they can have power and authority. That's all. When it comes to the Jews, I'm talking about the Zionists, the dirty Jews. Those are the ones who need to be exterminated and gotten rid of. Okay, guys, I'm not talking about Shlomo, who reads the Torah and minds his own business, you know. So, yeah, guys, that's about all I had for you. Also, guys, I'm going to talk a little bit about the CDL. So if any of you guys who don't care about the CDL, this is where you probably want to be like, okay, I'm done for the day. But for you guys out there who are interested in getting a CDL, I paid, well, as of right now, because I paid $175 because of that bitch. My CDL cost me about $5,500 at the school. Now, the good thing about getting your CDL from a school is that they don't own your ass, you know? A lot of places, if you get your CDL through them, they pay for your CDL. You know, they kind of own your ass for a year or 2 years. And shit like that. So if you get your CDL, you're really not, you know, some companies out there, like the company I'm gonna be working with, they have a 1 year contract where I have to be with them for a year. Otherwise, I'm gonna owe them like $2,700 for them training me, which is fine, you know. Look, if I make it into Congress, obviously, January of next year, I'll be representing the people, and yeah, I'll be more than happy to pay $2,700 to reimburse them, you know, for the trainer training me. But also at the same time, you guys gotta understand, they're gonna be reimbursing me $200 a month for my tuition at the school here in Fort Pierce. So worst case scenario, if I breach the contract because A, one of my restaurants took off, or B, I'm going to Congress, I might lose like what, maybe $2,000 at the most breaching the contract. Fuck it, who cares, you know? But yeah, at the end of the day, guys, always get your CDL. That way you don't be beholden to a company. Let me tell you something, guys, okay? Let me tell you something, okay? A lot of these companies, a lot of these companies out there, a lot of these schools out there, they usually want you to go working for Werner, Schneider. Don't do it, okay? These big companies out there, because they're so big and they got so much marketing contact, that they'll pay you like fucking 33 cents a mile, okay? Now, the place I'll be working with, they pay 46 cents a mile. Guys, that's like a 50% increase in pay right there, from 33 cents a mile to 46 cents a mile. You guys gotta understand, these big companies, because they have so much pull with the drive, with the CDL schools out there, that all CDL schools, they all tell you, go to Schneider, go to Werner, don't do it. This is why you get your own CDL, and this is why you guys go to the, do your own research, guys. Call up these companies, okay? Call them up. Be like, hey, how much per mile am I gonna be driving alone? Look, you don't want to be driving with another person, okay, guys? Now, the first month where you're being taught what's going on, okay, for a month, I'll drive with another dude for a month. That's fine, okay? But after the first month, maybe month and a half, I want my own motherfucking truck, dudes. I don't want to be sharing my truck with another dude, you know? That's fucking gay, you know? For Coach Bitch Bill, that's normal. But for me, no thank you. So, you guys out there who want to get your CDL, again, go to a CDL school. Get your own CDL. Don't have any of these big companies sponsor you, because they will use you and abuse you, okay? And another thing about the CDL, like the CD, you can actually, like here in Florida, guys, you can actually get a CDL for free, okay? So the state of Florida has contracts with a couple of colleges, like accredited colleges, where you can get your CDL for free. Now, I knew that, I had that opportunity, but I passed up on it because I didn't know that getting a CDL was actually gonna be so fucking easy, you know? So I saw the CDL was like, you know, getting a PhD and some dumb shit like that. So I'm like, you know what? Let me pay $5,500. You know, it's an education. But knowing what I know now about the CDL dudes, went to a university, to a college that had a scholarship from the state of Florida where I don't have to pay to get my CDL. Now, the reason why I didn't go to the free college to get my CDL from there at no cost is because they wanted a CDL permit, okay? Now, for you guys to get a CDL permit, it's hella easy. All you have to do to get a CDL permit, go to the DMV, pay for the test. It's like, what, a couple of dollars, something like that? But here's the thing, you gotta study for the CDL permit, okay? And studying for the CDL permit, guys, it's a multiple choice question. There are so many websites and apps out there that you can study for your CDL and you never ever actually have to pay anybody for anything. So if I was gonna do this all over again, so if I was gonna do this whole CDL thing all over again, this is what I would do. I would get my CDL permit, okay? And again, to get your CDL permit, okay? You pay a couple of dollars for a test. Now, before you test, obviously go online, type in CDL permit test quiz, Florida, or whatever state you are in. Now, the CDL is pretty much a federal program. So almost all the states are gonna have the same questions and answers and all that BS. But just to be sure, go to CDL permit quiz, enter name of state you are in. Keep on doing it, guys, until you're able to answer all the questions with no issues whatsoever. Once you are confident enough that you can pass the CDL test, go to your local DMV, say, hey, I want a test for a CDL permit. And again, for a couple of dollars, you get to do the test. Even if you fail, dudes, you can do it again. I mean, as far as I know, there is no like, oh, bro, you failed the CDL permit test, you can't have a CDL ever in your life. No, I actually failed my CDL permit test. I think I failed it either once or, no, I failed it twice. The first time I failed it because of a low grade. The second time I failed it because I forgot my Bluetooth speakers in my ear. That's why I failed it. They're like, that's an automatic fail. But yeah, I failed my CDL permit test twice, and the third time I aced that motherfucker. So the CDL permit, guys, as long as you're not Yogi Obes or Coach Bitchville low IQ, you'll do fine on the CDL permit. You guys, let me tell you something, dudes. Like, the people who do fucking truck driving, most of them are sub 70 IQ Somalis. If fucking sub 70 IQ Somalis can get a CDL, don't you think somebody with an IQ of about 100 can get a CDL? See, my problem is that I thought a CDL was rocket science, but here I am at my school and I'm like, these are the people getting a CDL? their IQ at best is probably room temperature, like 75, maybe 80, okay, at best. So for me, I honestly overestimated the CDL process. That's why I'm telling you guys, if I was gonna do this all over again, I would get the CDL permit on my own again, study for it online, go to the DMV, pay a couple of dollars. Even if you fail once or twice, the questions are always gonna be the same. So eventually you'll get your CDL permit. Once you get your CDL permit, then you have two options. Either your state has a grant where a university, a college will let you get a CDL, the real CDL, not the permit. You already have the permit, but you get the real CDL for free. Or there are some schools out there that will say, okay, you got your CDL permit? Okay, bro, we're gonna charge you maybe $1,500, $2,000 to get your actual CDL, okay? Now, the good thing about the college I went to is that you pay $1,200 up front, and then they deduct $350 every month, no interest charged, until you pay up the $5,300. So to me, that was a plus. But again, I could have gotten my CDL for free had I not overestimated the complexity of a CDL. Like, for real, dudes, this was the CDL for me, Amr Mitwali. This was a total breeze. I'm like, shit, I can literally do this in my fucking sleep. That's how easy the CDL process is. But again, road test, dumb bitch, park right there in front of the exit. I definitely was not gonna hit her car, had to make a tight turn. But hey, that's God's way of saying, if I can fuck your shit up, even though you thought you were perfect, imagine what I can do to the Zionists and their Shabbat goys. But yeah, you guys out there gotta understand this good. If you guys are not making good money where you're at, or you're like, hey man, I'm making like $5,000 a month, it's all right, but I'm like working overtime, I'm working like a dog, become a truck driver, dudes. Like, for real, dudes. The good thing about being a truck driver is that you're pretty much a glorified door dasher, you know? Instead of dropping off, you know, one order, you know, 10 times, you drop off, you know, a big order, you know, once or twice a day. I'd much rather do that. Not to mention, you're out in the open, you're on the highway, you're driving most of the time. Like, my route is from Daytona all the way up to New York. No New York City, no Washington, D.C. Never ever go to those places. Then you go from New York all the way to the Dakotas, and then you come down to like fucking Texas and then back to Florida. So I pretty much get to see the whole Midwest and the Eastern Seaboard of America. So I'm very happy with my route. And the good thing about trucking, guys, is that, you know, you can always come back to trucking as long as you have your CDL, you know. Like, for real, dudes, let's say I make, like, assuming I don't get into Congress, okay? If I don't get into Congress, let's say I drive truck for a year, I make $50,000, and then I get more restaurants in Colombia and Ukraine and Latvia going, and I'm like, hey, I need more restaurants, I need a little bit more money for marketing, shit like that. Okay, I come back to America, my CDL in hand, I go out, $4,500 a month. It's probably going to be more than that because they're getting rid of a lot of illegal immigrants who should not have a CDL, by the way. So, yeah, guys, don't overestimate driving truck dudes. Like, you guys need to understand. Almost everybody who's driving truck, their IQ at best is room temperature, okay, guys? So if any of you guys out there want me to make a video dedicated to the whole CDL process, let me know in the comment section, okay, guys? Let me know in the comment section if you want me to make a video dedicated to the whole CDL process from start all the way to finish, okay, guys? So yeah, the point of this video, dudes, is that don't be afraid of the Zionists, don't be afraid of Trump, don't be afraid of anyone, because you guys have to understand, just like I saw, the road test was a nothing burger. I can do it in my sleep. In fact, you know, like I said, guys, before, right after I aced the inspection and brake test and then the maneuvers test, I said to myself, hey man, just give me the freaking CDL, dude. We're done with this bitch. Because when I went out on the road, man, I never had a problem going out on the road. I never hit the curb, you know. Now, I probably drove 100 miles on the road, whether it's on the highway, it's in the city, or it's in a small kind of like farmland village. I drove the truck, no problem whatsoever. So I got arrogant and I'm like, you know what? I got the CDL in the bag, dude. I really don't even have to do the motherfucking road test. That's how easy I thought the road test was gonna be because I never had a problem with it. But you know, not even within 2 minutes, I didn't even leave the motherfucking parking lot and I already failed because some dumb bitch fucked my shit up. So if that can happen to me, it can happen to Taco, it can happen to Netanyahu. Don't let these people who tell you, oh yeah, bro, we won, we took it over, we ain't number one. Nah, that's God's way of saying, okay, bro, we're going to see if you're going to be a number one in a hot minute, okay, bro? So, and again, guys, I cannot stress this enough about MGTOW, okay, guys? If I make it into Congress, that's it. We won. Now, after we take away women's rights and we get rid of the Jews, here's the deal. I, Amar Metwali, will get all the baddies while Coach Bitchpill gets all the trannies. Okay, guys? We're gonna agree on that, okay? Alright, guys, I'm gonna see you in the next video. Subscribe. I haven't done videos in a long time. What do I normally say at the end of a video? Subscribe, comment, share, and I'm gonna see you in the next one. I'll probably see you Thursday, God willing. I'll get my CDL then. Hopefully another dumb bitch doesn't fuck my shit up. Alright, guys, talk to you later. Peace.